The Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Web Comics Company Podcast, Season 2, Episode 1, Why Are Web Comics Terrible? A nicely provocative title there. I am Luke Searle of the webcomic unimaginatively titled LukeSearle.com, and I am joined, as always, by Luke Healy.
Hey, it's me, Luke Healy, your best friend of LukeWHealy.com.
Zoe Robinson.
Hi there, I'm Zoe Robinson, creator of Britain's first webcomic at knobmouse.net and also the All of the House at alloftheHouse.net.
And Matt Dyson.
Hello, I'm Matt Dyson, and you can find my stuff over at matthasawebsite.com, and that I'll link to all my other stuff, including Moon Keo, my main comic.
So yeah, this is season 2 of the webcomic company podcast. I almost said season 2 of the webcomic. season 2 of the webcomics company podcast. And we're going to slightly change how we do things with the podcast, trying to make it a little bit more, I use the word lateral, which is a terrible businessy word. Matt, do you want to describe what we're trying to do here?
Basically, we're recording naked now.
Yeah, it kind of lets things flow a bit more. We just found it a bit more relaxing. And occasionally flick the webcams on.
That's just how it is. That's how you do
it. Oh, my
podcast,
eyes!
Right?
My eyes! Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's let laterally mean something different. I'll tell you what. Let's let it mean that we're going to include the general public a lot more. We're going to be announcing topics at least a week in advance so that everybody can get in contact with us. You can contact us by email, Skype, forums, carrier ferret, anything like that, and you can really get in on the conversation. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds better. Okay, I'll put my clothes on now.
Okay.
But I just burned all my clothes. I've got no clothes.
At least put a towel on, man.
There are, as Matt suggested, there are infinite numbers of ways to get in contact with us. You can find them all at our website, which is www.webcomics.co. Another thing we discussed is slightly what the title should be. Whether it should be, we should put a space in between web and comics. Don't do that in your URL, in your browser, it won't work. But, a lot of us have moved somewhat towards print than web comics now, actually. I've done a bit more. Matt, you are a lot more a print person than you were in season 1.
I'm not a web traitor. I've been having a lot of print success. So, as I'd advise anybody to do, you've got to focus on the things that are working for you. And I think the discussion that we had along the title of the Web Comics Company, moving towards the Web Comics Company, is that Web Comics is a bit of an antiquated term nowadays. It's still technically correct, which is the best kind of correct, but it's kind of almost redundant. You don't call comics that you go into a shop to buy, you don't go, right, I'm going to go buy my print comics. You say, I'm going to go buy comics.
Web comics is for old people from the 90s, and we're at the bleeding edge of cool and fun and hip. We're so hip. Please be our friend on Facebook.
We do actually have a Facebook page, which you can find on the web. So that was, this is our introduction to our topic for today, which I've titled Why Are Web Comics Terrible? Which is...
Because I make them.
it is... unnecessarily provocative. What we're really talking about is different ways of getting your comic out there. I put them into two broad camps, which is print and web. But they're definitely... I can anticipate their conclusion now, is that they're not mutually exclusive. And for most people, you should probably be doing both to some extent. I've actually wrote a preview blog for this. And if you go to webcomics.co, look for a blog post from the 25th of June, and you can see what I wrote ahead and then some comment on that. And because we're the new interactive podcast, we're going to try and include these comments in as much as possible.
Mostly because everybody else who makes webcomics probably knows the same amount we do, so lateral.
Cool. Yeah. So, in terms of commenting, when we start talking out of our bums, email in and tell us, because we are perfectly willing to accept that we are quite often wrong.
Okay. I'm always right. The universe is frequently inaccurate.
Yeah. should we try and define what we mean by web comics or by print comics? I guess it's just where you put it, really.
It's a fairly simple definition. A web comic is one that is created originally for the web, and a print comic one that's created originally for print. They can swap about. You can get a web comic that's printed out, but if you're designing it originally to put on the internet, it's a web comic.
I think what I do, Luke Sor.com, if you want to click, is you just get the promotion in there, is quite, it is primarily designed for print. Completely wrong, primarily designed for the web. That's partly, one of the main things about it is that I use irregular page sizes and formats, and when I try and put this into print, it's a major headache. I think if you have one of the two options in mind, there are different ways that you need to format. One thing is whether you draw in RGB or CMYK. That's a coloring term. What Zoe, you would probably be, your comics are probably more web-based as well than print.
Definitely. Knobmouse and All of the House are designed for the internet. Knobmouse has always been designed for the internet right from the start. Although All of the House was originally designed for print, it was going to be a newspaper comic, but it never made it. But with my third one, Inkproof Canon, I've actually decided that it's going to primarily be created for the print market, but there will be a web version of it. So, yeah, two-thirds web, one-third print.
Cool. And Matt, one thing I know that Matt does is you produce your comics in 32 page bundles so that they work very nicely for printing.
Yes, but to throw a spanner in the works, I don't. While Moon Kyo was designed originally as a webcomic, it's neither a webcomic nor a print comic at the moment. It can be described, depending upon how I feel, as a webcomic that also happens to have books, or a print comic that also happens to be on the web. I do my originals in a size that's large enough for printing seamlessly at whatever size I want to do, and I resize them for the web. So it doesn't actually have a focus, which is, I think, what a lot of people are migrating towards nowadays, as computers are being able to handle quite easily anybody's computers who's wanting to do a webcomic. The sizes of documents that you need to do for print work, it's a lot easier to have your stuff ready for print and keep that in mind. And a lot of people use regular templates anyway. I know Luke has the problem with his irregular sized things, but as long as you're using a general template and your things are regular sized, and even if they're not, if you've got some time to spend on it, I don't think there needs to be a differentiation nowadays, unless you have it in your mind that you specifically only want to work on one thing. Because
that's a very good point.
Because a third thing has come about now as well. We have our print comics, we have our web comics, and we also have our Comixology / iPad / iBooks /
e-books.
Kindle comics. Yeah. Our electronic book format comics, which I'll say now I think is going to be the next thing. I'm honestly predicting in my head that within the next 5 years, well, within the next 5 to 10 years easily, I don't think single issues will exist in print form anymore. I think it'll die. And I think the only thing that will be in print form is trade paperbacks and collected editions of really popular storylines that have sold well digitally.
Yeah. I think that is on my list of things to discuss on this.
Aha.
Yeah. We will do ebooks at some
Matt's
point.
Matt jumps the gun.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just jump straight into that. Would that be destroying the order of the episode, or will we just...
What we haven't done is, Luke, you haven't defined yourself as which medium you consider yourself.
Define yourself, Luke.
I am basically the best comics artist ever. I definitely not. Oh god, like I needed to say that. I don't know if I'm print or web. I started out doing webcomics, as I'm sure many people listening know, and as you guys all know. I haven't done a webcomic in almost a year, but I am finished up my first graphic novel, which is intended to be entirely print, so I guess I'm moving in a more printerly direction, but I don't think that's a great direction, so I'm really looking to do more web stuff in the future as well.
I think a lot of, I started out with the web because I could. It's a lot easier to start on the web if you know basic HTML or whatever, and even now you can pretty much put up a comic press website in about 10 minutes. And actually moving into print is something that you do once you've got a small group of people who will actually buy it and make it for a while, and you're prepared to take the sort of financial plunge and the effort plunge to put it together, and you've got enough content to put it together. I think one thing webcomics are very good for is just people starting out, playing around, seeing if they want to do this whole comics thing at all. I think having that point in which you transitioned somewhat to print, you don't need to worry that you're going in a sort of backwards direction back to the Stone Age.
Yeah, it's sort of like graduating down. It's kind of bizarre.
I know what we're going to conclude is that people should do both.
Yeah, but let me throw a little hot sauce into this podcast gumbo.
Yummy.
I think that webcomics, when I say webcomics, I want you to picture like a website that you go on and it has one comic and there's a back and a forward button and a first and a last button, and that's the webcomic. I think that model is so incredibly broken.
Controversial.
Controversial. Here's what I'm thinking. So the only format that I think that still serves well is very story-based, continuity-based comics, where you basically have to read it from start to finish. And even then, I think there are better ways to do it. But I think that it works well enough for them. But let's face it, it's like 20 years old, that system of navigating a website.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for webcomics like yours, Luke, that are sort of gag, you know, once-off funny comics, I think that format does them a disservice.
I'm gonna agree with that. I have 580 comics, I think, by the time this comes out. When I say comics, they're actually mostly single panel things, I said, how is anybody going to reach comic 332? They're either going to have to go back 200 comics, or start at the beginning and go forward 300. So that's... I just went over to my bookshelf and I'm holding a copy of Gunnacrig Court, Volume 3. If you don't know Gunnacrig Court, you are missing out. It is absolutely beautiful, and it's holding it in the book, holding it in my hand. This is a beautiful book. I mean, Tom Siddle is an amazing artist, and does it. And yeah, it makes me feel very inadequate, as do a lot of things.
Pretty much anything I read on the internet makes me feel inadequate. So
the thing is, I paid £12 for this book. I can't remember actually, but I probably wouldn't if I hadn't read the webcomic, because I probably wouldn't know that Gunnacrig Court existed. It would just be one of those things on a bookshelf. That so this comes down to web as a promotional tool for print. If you have a look at the preview blog, Tara Talent, who produces another comic which you should read, galaxicancomics.com, all these links we'll put in the show notes on webcomics.co. That is, yeah, is it a good idea to use web as a promotional tool for print? Or is that doing web a disservice? Is that doing print a disservice?
Well, I would think that just using the web as a promotional tool solely is doing the web a disservice. You can make it decent on the web, just going on alone. Penny Arcade did until it moved into print only about 3 or 4 years ago. But Penny Arcade's over a decade old, and they've been successful since almost the start. So I think just focusing solely on using the web as an advert for your print is probably not the way to go. You've got to integrate them properly.
You go, Luke.
Okay, well, I kind of agree with that, and I kind of don't. On the one hand, when you say a phrase like using the web as a promo for print, essentially as advertising, you know, that brings to mind, you know, you put up the first 40 pages and then you sell the book, which I think is bad. I think that's bad practice. I think it's not a good way to go about things. On the other hand, if you are trying to produce something that you're going to make money from, that you want to make a living from, then you have to look at web. You're putting something online for free, no charge. I think at some point you really have to look at what that's getting you, and advertising and promotion and building a fan base is basically what you're getting. That's what it is. So I think that if you're going down the web as promotion route, you really have to commit and say, I'm either giving all of this away for free or I'm not.
I don't think putting the comic for free on your website necessarily takes away from your ability to sell things, because I think there's still a lot of the factor there that people prefer to have a nicely printed, nicely put together book in their hands than clicking through things on a page, on a screen in the corner of their room. It's a much nicer experience to have a book. And I think if your book isn't more accessible and enjoyable to read than your site is, then you've done something wrong with your book. Books are a wonderful way of consuming content like this. It's how comics were originally put out there into the world. And while I do agree that the web can be a wonderful, wonderful tool to increase your audience, if you will, and therefore increase your chance at selling your books, etc., if that's what you want to do, books, I don't think it's needed. You can be perfectly successful and sell print versions of your stuff without having any following whatsoever on the internet. I hold my hand up and invite you to look at me for that. I've got next to nobody that reads the comic on my website at the moment, mainly because I've not had enough time to devote any time to the website in the last 6-8 months to a year, really. Well, Luke, how do I do at conventions?
Phenomenally good. Matt is kind of the king of the comics village. It makes us all very jealous.
It's funny.
Here's the thing. If you don't have followers on the web, you've got to have capital. It's one or the other. You have to be able to either invest money or invest your time putting it all on the web and building a fan base.
I didn't pay a single penny for either of the two first of my two books. I taught people on conventions. For the first times I printed my books, I did them all by hand. And yes, okay, I had
money.
Capital there, but it cost me about... It cost me about less than £1 a book, and I started with the first run of 30 books.
I sold them
for £2.50 a piece.
Yeah. You did have to put in, though, a fair amount of your time.
Having said that, though, if you're not prepared to be putting in a fair amount of your time, then you don't deserve to have a successful comic.
Yeah. But in terms of... So, showing 100 people... getting 100 people viewing my website only takes me the time it takes to upload it, whereas you've actually had to staple together 100 books there. This has actually brought us on to the money side of things. You can make money purely from website visits, which is mostly through advertising. However, it is generally quite small beer. There are formulas for cents per 1,000 views that you can get. It fluctuates depending on your ad provider, slightly what sort of people are coming to your site, and how horrific an advert you're prepared to put up. But those numbers are quite low. I don't actually do this. What's a typical CPM?
The typical CPM is about 2 cents per 1,000 views.
Yeah.
So unless you're getting lots of views, it's really not going to help you an awful lot.
Yeah.
It's one of these catch-22 situations as well. You'll only get the higher paying rates on a lot of the schemes if you've got the higher numbers of views, because the advertisers that are doing the higher paying advertising campaigns will only want their stuff to be viewed on websites where they're guaranteed a good throughput. That's why your Penny Arcade, that's why your PvP Online, they get some really good, really well paying campaigns on their sites, and they'll be getting a lot more per 1,000 than the average one that we'll get. But yeah.
Oh, well, I totally agree. We're just giving out a CPC that you can probably expect for a starting comic. Because once you've got a lot, you shouldn't really be going with the ad generators that everyone's using. You get in an agent who negotiates it for you and deals with the adverts.
We'll probably do advertising in a later podcast, I guess. Just going to try and make sure we...
That's going to take up an entire...
Yeah, we can talk. In terms of... A lot of web comics make money through selling merchandise. I think that's a significant source. Is either merchandise related to the comic pop-up, so also printed books. You're probably going to sell to a small percentage of the people who visit your website. So the balance is, you'll get a small percentage. Or if you're on the web, you'll get a small percentage of people, and you care about money, obviously. If you get a small percentage of people, of a large number of people buying your stuff. However, if you're purely print, everybody who sees your comic is obviously buying it, but that number is going to be smaller. So there is a balancing act there. Of course, you can play both camps as well. I sell books, probably most books, the vast majority of books at conventions, to people who've never seen me online before and have a flick through the book and find it funny and then buy it. So that's sort of the balancing act that you can go through. But I think a point I said before that I think is really good is make sure that the book has some added value. If you're doing both, make sure the book has some added value to the reader. One, it can just be that if you get a good printing, things look really, really nice and far better than they do on even a posh monitor. There's also extra content that you can have in the book, extra little sort of designer scribbles and things. But if you just want to get it out there, I can't see any reason not to put the whole thing online.
No, the internet's a wonderful, wonderful platform to get out to as many, many people as you can. Do bear in mind, though, that while you may put your stuff on the internet, it doesn't instantly have an audience. You do have to do the work to get it out there, but the pool of people that you're looking at is a lot bigger than standing in a dusty hall on a Saturday morning at your first ever convention, hoping that people are going to come in the door.
Yeah. Like I said in the preview blog post, I've had viewers in almost every country in the world. Let's see, there's 3 visits from Colombia so far today.
Have you got Chad yet?
I haven't got Chad, no.
Oh, you got to catch them all, man.
I figured I have to click a few different buttons here. I figured that most countries in the world have had visitors from, apart from, let's see. North Korea is out. Probably for obvious reasons. This is a bit of a side project. North Korea, no Chad. I think that's Niger. No, it's a small part of Central Africa.
I tell you what I'll do. If I win the lottery, I'll go on a round-the-world trip only visiting the countries you've not had hits from and view your website from there.
Yeah. So this is a slight...
On one condition... You rescue me from North Korea.
Yeah. North Korea might be make that your last stop.
Yeah, even if it's my first stop, it's going to be my last stop.
For somebody like me who is not that, I'm not especially commercially inclined for the comic, at least at the moment. I'm moving slightly towards that, but mostly it's... you can either call it a labor of love or a vanity exercise, depending on how you want to criticize me. But if you just want to get your comic out there, there is no way that you're going to get more views through print than through just putting it online. Because just the sheer print, you're basically going to have to somehow either get it all in bookshops or literally hand it to people at conventions. But with the web... It can be viewed everywhere, obviously. It's not necessarily going to immediately appear on everybody's monitors. But, yeah, this is goes from a comment by SMB Hacks. I'm not familiar with his website, but...
it's super massive black hole, A star.
Yep.
Thank you. But, he says it's... He's entirely web only, not planning to do a book. That's how he wants to put things out there.
And that's grand because, you know, I think there are successes of people posting online. I think that the ones that are more successful tend to be the ones that maybe wouldn't work so well in print. Like MS Paint Adventures. Which obviously is incredible, and if you don't read it, then you're a fool who's missing out on new media. But whatever you guys, you can miss out if you want, you're just gonna be a square. All the teens are reading it, I swear. So something like Supermassive Black Hole A Star, which is, it's been a while since I've read it, but I believe it's one panel at a time, and some of them are animated. You know, that's the kind of thing that only really works online. You don't want to be selling panels.
Yeah, I think the things that do irregular panel sizes, like XKCD, that's a lot easier to do online. The other thing with online is the way that the updates come to you, which I think works better for things that like I do, and less good for something which is more story based. In that, basically, people who subscribe to my RSS feed will get a comic Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. If things are entirely print based, I'm going to use an example here of Chloe Noonan by Mark Ellerby. You have to basically wait till the next convention to get the next issue. And you end up, I think, for a story comic, you get the entire story, an entire story arc together as one thing. And you wouldn't really want to read that page by page. Or if you're going to do it, you have to make sure that each update has some form of payoff to it. Something like me, obviously every update should hopefully make you laugh. So it's easier done in sort of single installments. I think the way that a story comic has to be structured, if it's going to be done in single updates online, it's a little bit, can be a little bit artificial. So
maybe a little. I think that the people who do it well, though, like really kick ass on us. So you mentioned Gunnar Craig Court before. I think that's like such a great example of every page is just ends in such a great panel. You're like, I want to read the next page right now.
Yeah.
But if you go back and read those books, they are still great. They work as both. Another example I can think of off the top of my head is Bad Machinery by John Allison, which totally works as single updates and as a story. I think maybe slightly better as single updates, but I guess that's up to, you know, personal preference. But, you know, I think there's a place. There's, you know, if you're good at it, it can be done, definitely, with story comics.
Yeah.
To be honest, though, if I'm going to go from another tactic here. If you ever have a look at the original Judge Dredd comics from the late 70s and early 80s, when they're really marketed to kids rather than realizing that most of their viewers are about 20. They were marketed to kids with a low attention span who would buy the comic every week. And if you see those comics, every single page of that comic is a page turner. You want to know what's going to happen next, even if you have to wait an entire week. Not just that, every page in it, there's 5 or 6 pages per issue, per story. And you want to see what's on the next page. You keep turning until you've got pages. So I think we could learn a lot from print, not just from how to market, but also how to write the story and structure it, because those comics are amazing. Whereas you see the modern stuff now where you get an entire story and pages upon page are boring because they know they've got 30 pages to fill. So,
well, yeah, but here comes, this is where the real big difference I think lies between stuff like web comics and serialized comics between them and something more like a graphic novel. It's like the difference between movies and TV shows. Movies, it's all got to be crammed down into that hour and a half, but TV shows have a whole season. So that's really where I think print shines. You can take your time. And some stories need to take their time. Some don't. Some do. And that's where I really think that if you're looking to tell something that's maybe a little more slow, that has a slow build, slow burn, then I think print is probably going to serve you better. I mean, you can do it online. Do whatever you like. But I know that I would prefer to read something like that in print for sure.
Yeah, the slower ones, I'm thinking of Sparkling Generation, Valkyrie Yuki, and Misfile, both of which are very slow burners. I tend to read them once or twice a month at most, but they update regularly. Well, Misfile updates almost every day, but Sparkling Generation waits until it's got an entire issue completed and then puts that out. And both of them, you can read it if you want on a day-to-day basis, but there's no payoff there for you. You've got to sit down and just...
Yeah, it's the same for me with Vatu by Evan Dam and his previous comics. I love those comics, but I haven't read Vatu in months. But I know when I go back to it, it's going to be an awesome half an hour of catching up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
An interesting comic with feet in both camps is Order of the Stick. Order of the Stick does is that if he has a generally it's in pages and you can see how the pages will be aligned when it goes to print. But if there's a page where there isn't really a good way to end it with a gag or something at the end of the page, his web update will be 2 pages. And that is a way of getting around that situation. Moving on a bit, a comment we had from, I don't know how to pronounce this name, sorry, Max Veiling. He talks about there are some things that he occasionally does online that you can't do in print. This is something that MS Paint Adventures does a lot.
Yeah.
We actually did basically an entire podcast on this in season one, so we probably shouldn't talk about this too much. That's season one, episode 23, Using the Web. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it can just come across as gimmicky. I think a lot of what people want is comics rather than, but yeah. Mm. Shall we do ebooks?
Let's do ebooks. I want to do ebooks.
Woo! Are they the future?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that concludes.
Good night, everybody.
I've got a number. I've got a really good number.
Why we think they're the future?
Okay. How about this? In 2012. I looked this up beforehand because I am crazy prepared, y'all. In 2012, Apple is predicted to sell 56 million iPads. Why aren't our comics on iPads? That's where it's happening.
Matt, you have an iPad.
I do have an iPad, and I do read comics on my iPad. I read some indie stuff, but mostly Marvel and DC stuff from the Comixology store. Having said that, I do get some of the indie stuff from there as well. My current favourite is Atomic Robo. Just a bit of a shout out. If you've not read it, do. It's fantastic. But yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful way to consume comics. There's no even getting used to it. It's there. It's a decent screen size. To flip over a page, you swipe your finger. It's just easy, and you don't have the problem of where do I put my comics? Can I be bothered to put them in plastic sheets if I'm wanting issues? All sorts of random things like that. Where do I put all my graphic novels? Can I take them all with me on holiday? Stupid things like that.
For creators, you've got many, if not all, of the benefits of print as a format. You can sell it, and it's you don't really have your unit cost to create an ebook and is, well, nothing. It's made out of bytes.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, you don't ever have the problem that I had at the end of the last convention I was at, which is where you get to mid-morning on the Sunday of the convention and you suddenly realise, oh yay, but oh damn, I've just sold out. And then you're limited and you can't make any more money because of short-sightedness. And,
oh,
I mean, happy short-sightedness.
Oh. I'm so sorry you sold out.
I know. Oh. Yeah, you see,
I just my heart bleeds for you.
I have this
really
problem.
Does.
I have this problem. yes, it's a lovely, lovely, lovely problem to have, but you find yourself sitting there going, oh, well, I could have sold another X number of books. Yes, it's fantastic that I sold out, but at the same time, there's lost opportunity there, and you don't have that on a digital format because theoretically, you will never ever run out.
You're probably unlikely to be able to set up a stall at a con selling ebooks, though.
That's true. I think I would disagree with that.
I'm excited to hear this.
The majority of the time when Jennifer and I are out at book signings, we will sell more ebook copies of her books than print copies because people will come in and go, oh, this looks really nice, but I like it on ebook. So they'll buy it just there because the store has Wi-Fi.
But that's books, not graphic novels, though.
Yeah. I have a Kindle. I wouldn't want to read a comic on it.
Yeah. The general gist that I get from, and I'm sure, Luke, you can probably back me up on this, from people at conventions is if they're buying something, they want to have it there in their hands there and then. And the general sort of people that are at conventions, they're not going to be walking around with iPads or this, that, and the other. And I think you're either going to sell them something physically at a convention or you're not going to at all.
Okay.
Well, here is something that I just want to say really quickly, because Matt, you said a word earlier that sparked something in my mind.
Aha!
You said, aha! You said,
was it when I was talking about nakedness?
Yes. I think all comics should feature naked people, obviously. No. Okay. What I was going to say is, you said short-sightedness. So I am going to say something that I think people should pay attention to. This is purely just my opinion. I've got no numbers or science facts to back this up. However, if you are making a comic and the text is too small to comfortably read on an iPad screen when your comic page is fitted to an iPad screen, you need to correct that. Correct yes. that now.
Go to Google yeah. now, boys and girls, and Google, because I don't have the stuff in front of me, Google resolution for iPad, you know, iPad resolution. Find that resolution and make sure that you are compatible with it.
Yeah, and people Simple are like, oh my, yeah, people are like, oh my god, and what if, you know, I don't want to make it for the iPad. What if I make it for the Google Android tablet? Well, don't. Make it for the iPad and the Google Android tablet,
yeah,
okay?
Make it for both.
Because everybody has an iPad, okay? They're ridiculously popular, okay? There's like 100 million of them in homes.
At the end
That's
of the day,
where you want to be your comics.
At the end of the day, if you're going out to sell your comic, then you should sell it to the best of your ability. And if you're not trying to get it on as many platforms as possible, within the scope of your available resources, and time is a resource here, bear in mind, then you're doing yourself a disservice. So... But equally, you should make sure that it's the best it can possibly be on those platforms as well.
Yeah, and even if now you have no interest in selling this stuff on tablets, iPads are going to stay the same shape, you know, so in 5 years down the line when you want to sell a collection, you'll be kicking yourself. Just do it. Just make it so it's readable. It's not okay. that big of a change.
Yeah. So we are emphatically in favour of ebooks. Generally, when to ebooks, looking towards the... Well, the iPad.
Yeah.
we're not even going to say a tablet PC. You have many which are available.
I think the comic creators that are out there at the moment that are saying, oh no, ebooks aren't going to amount to anything. I'll just stick to doing exactly what I'm doing right now. Thank you very much. They're kind of like the horse and cart drivers back in the day that go, oh, this dangfangled mechanical carriages, they're never going to catch on. I'll stay here with my horse and poop shovel.
Oh. Okay. Right. So there's no dissenting voices on the pro Arcanox. Right. That is almost everything I had written down. I have written down list. Are you potentially compromising future publishing, and that's actually publishing with a publisher, by putting your stuff out there for free?
I would say no. Just look at how many webcomics Dark Horse has picked up, for example.
I would say no. If a publisher wants you enough, then they're going to want you despite that. And if they don't want you despite that, then they don't want you enough for you to be bothering with them anyway.
Agreed.
I'm going to say that they'll want you for it. They want your audience. That's why they're probably one of the reasons they're publishing you.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that might have been true about 5 years ago. Or maybe less than that. But I think that is waning. Yeah, and your website is an advert for yourself. And if you're a really good artist and you're putting it out there and then 30,000 people are looking at your site every day, people are going to be interested in you as an artist in general.
Yeah, and look, publishers have spent the last, you know, half decade at least getting internet savvy, you know what I mean? That's where all the money is now. So if you look at something like 50 Shades of Grey, which is, you know, like a cheap as chips ebook, that's the fastest selling book to get to 1 million copies in history. Okay, publishers are gonna look at that and be like, yeah, okay, it's been online for free, as Twilight fanfiction, by the way. There's a little factoid.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna admit something. I had to actually Google what that was the other day. I had no idea what all this hoo-ha was about, and I had to Google what it was.
Get with the zeitgeist, Mal.
Oh no, I think I have to pay more attention to things, because a few weeks ago as well, I had to Google what YOLO was, because of all these people shouting out what YOLO was, and it's like, really? Is that it? Is that all it actually is? Shut the hell up.
I don't know what that is, and frankly, I'm not going to bother looking that up.
Yeah, I don't know what that is either.
YOLO stands for You YOLO. Only Live Once. Yeah. And basically, it's the term You Only Live Once is a wonderful term if used in a certain manner, but what it seems to be used as in popular usage at the moment is like all these tweeny people on Facebook going, I'm going to eat this entire cake, YOLO! Or, you know, I'm going to go around and be very promiscuous this weekend, YOLO!
You just realise we've gone from ebooks of the future, everybody go from the back is the horse and cart drivers, to, oh, look at these teenagers and what they're tweeting.
I'm a grumpy almost 30-year-old.
In the space of about 5 minutes. Yeah. I'll just wrap up with a couple of other things from the comics. Something else that Max Vailing said, Max, if you're listening, I'm sorry I can't pronounce your surname.
If it makes you feel any better, Luke Cyril here is very, very sorry. Mr. Cyril will stop pronouncing your name wrong. He really will.
One thing Max, I can pronounce Max, Max says is that working online does give him more of a schedule in terms of having the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or whichever update schedule you keep. And there is more of a pressure on yourself, if that's something that works for you, to keep to a schedule if you've set yourself to publish online which is something I found. I think one of the reasons my comic keeps on going is because I have that deadline. Although actually at the time of recording, I'm half an hour beyond when I said I'd my scheduled time for uploading.
Having said that, the same can be said for print. There's nothing to get you motivated like a print deadline.
That's true. If you've got a convention that you need to go to, or if your publisher is breathing down your neck.
Just to get book two out, I did 30 strips in 14 days. There's nothing like a print deadline to motivate you.
And then Tony
DiGerolamo. Girolamo?
Geronimo. Tony's sort of talking about the quality of webcomics out there. We've kind of not talked about that. That is probably something for a later podcast, maybe.
Can we entitle that podcast 90% of Everything is Shit, and Here's Why?
Sturgeon's Law.
Yeah, let's go for Sturgeon's Law instead.
Oh, how about 90% of everything's shit, but in the case of webcomics, it's closer to 99%?
Well, the thing with webcomics is that 90% is visible, whereas other mediums hide it.
And anybody that wants to write in and tell me I'm full of myself, I'm including myself in that 99%.
Yeah. I think basically said everything that I think I would say. And in terms of writing in, as we said at the top of the podcast, if you think we've talked a whole load of bullshit, if you think that ebooks are not the future, if you think that horse-drawn carriages are the future,
they're coming back. I'm telling you.
Well, whatever your
raise opinion, your poop shuffle in pride.
Whatever your opinion is. Get in touch, and in future podcasts we'll look at our inbox and talk about those. Obviously we didn't with episode one because that's how the number one works, but yeah, all the different myriad ways of contacting us can be found through www.webcomics.co.
free lolly for the first person that contacts us by carrier ferret.
Oh. Speaking of future podcasts and of webcomics.co, if you're listening to this, you can go straight to webcomics.co right now and see a preview blog for our next episode, for next week's episode, which is going to be about comic school, yay or nay. So if you want to go and leave your comments on that, you can read the blog, see what we're going to be talking about, and leave your input underneath. That will be super cool, and hopefully we'll have a really good discussion about that.
If you leave something interesting, we might even read it out next episode and talk about your points.
Because your points are probably better than our points.
And by points, we mean topics of conversation, not breasts.
And that brings us all the way back to the nudity. I think we've made a complete full circle here, so shall we sign off?
Let's sign off.
Hooray.
Good night, boys and girls.
Good night. I have been... Oh dear, it's all falling.
Sighs, it's all crumbling down. The house of cards has tumbled. Let's just say goodbye. Just you go ahead, Luke, go ahead.
I have been Luke Searle of LukeSearle.com. Thank you for listening.
I have been Luke Healy of LukeWHealy.com. Thank you also for listening to a podcast on the internet.
Go, Zoe.
I've been Zoe Kirk-Robinson of Knobmouse.net, AllOverTheHouse.net, and InkproofCanon.com.
I've been Matt Dyson of MattHasAWebsite.com.
And you have been listening to the Webcomics Company podcast at www.webcomics.co. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.
No returns, exchanges, or refunds.
It's free. It was free, though, so... So, you know.
Yeah, you listen to it, you can't unlisten.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. See you in 2 weeks' time.
Do you need to go to school, or do you need to just start doing it?
I sure as hell hope not.
Yeah. If we need to go to art school, I'm screwed. I've got a GCSE and that's it.
I don't have that.
No, I don't have GCSE.